This is the Woodland Hills Family Church Podcast. Our desire is to inspire you and your family to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Now, enjoy today's message with Adam Donier.
So, for those of you that heard Ted a couple weeks ago, I survived the Rona. It gave me everything I wanted and then some, which really ties into the title of today's message, which is Great is Thy Faithfulness, ... and Great is My Forgetfulness. Right? I'm so prone to forget. So I've, like many of you, have been boxed in and quarantined in for the last 5 months and have been going crazy and in a house. And remember, I got an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old. And they could put Red Bull out of business if I could bottle their energy. And so being quarantined with them has definitely developed patience in my wife and I. And so finally I had enough and I had some airline miles. And I said, baby, I'm taking the boys off the grid. We're going Jason Bourne style. We're going to Glacier National Park. No cell phone service, no electricity, no plumbing, nothing. Nada. Cut off the grid all last week. I just got back like 2 nights ago. And it was amazing with just my 8-year-old and 5-year-old. We hiked the trails. We saw grizzly bear. We saw moose. We saw bald eagles. We floated the North Fork River. We did guy stuff. Oh, I got scratches on my knees. It was awesome. It was amazing. And we were hiking the avalanche trail to go see the avalanche lake, which is amazing. You get to this glacier lake and there's 3 waterfalls from glaciers just running into this lake and it's a different color. It was an unbelievable week of just cutting off from all distractions and being with my boys and making memories. Well, I let them do dude stuff and usually stuff that they wouldn't get to do when mom's around. She's like, be careful. Don't do that. Stop. Be careful. I'm like, go ahead. Break an arm. Get some stitches. Let's go. Be a man. And so they're doing everything they want and they're falling and they're tripping. I'm like, it's all right. Get up. If you're going to do it, we're just going to keep rolling. And so they climb this big boulder and my first one, Aiden, he's really like methodical and thoughtful and careful and thinks through things before he acts. He's very ready, aim, fire. My 5-year-old is very much ready, fire, aim. Okay. Like he doesn't think, he just goes. The kid is absolutely fearless. And so my 8-year-old walks down the bottom of this boulder after I take this picture, true story. And I assume that's what the 5-year-old's gonna do as well. So I just start walking to the rest of the trail, which is right here from where I took the picture. And out of the corner of my eye, from right here on this edge, I just see Superman jump off the boulder. Like I'm like, it's right, I'm walking, all of a sudden I look up and here comes a 5-year-old flying at my head, about 15 to 20 feet off the ground. I catch him. My heart just in my stomach. And I'm like, Anders, what were you thinking? He says, you're my daddy. I knew you were going to catch me. You think God didn't preach to me in that moment? Of how many things I've been worried about in the last 5 months. How many things, when is this pandemic going to end? When are things going to get back to normal? When are things going to... And he's like, I'm your father. I'm going to catch you. I've been faithful time and time again in your life. And so I wanted to kick off this message with a video that just captures the last 100 years. And I think it's important because we forget, even 100 years from now, all that God has faithfully brought us through. Check out this video. He's gotten us through. He's gotten, and that's just 100 years, and he has been faithful. He got us through World War I. He got us through World War II. He got us through smallpox. He got us through 9/11, and he's going to get us through COVID-19. He has been faithful. It's never lacking in his faithfulness. It's us that's increasing in our forgetfulness. And I think when I remember his faithfulness, my heart and my mind and my soul get to a really good place. And when I forget, the angst and the anxiety and the worry mounts. And it is my forgetfulness that forgets to turn to this truth that will help me remember his faithfulness. And so I want to look at that with you, but I want to show you guys a map first to give you a little context of a really important book. It's actually Deuteronomy. It's actually the most quoted book in the New Testament. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy more than any other book in the Old Testament. And Deuteronomy is the last of the five books in the Torah that Moses wrote. And Deuteronomy is written and broken into three parts. The first part is a sermon that is just all about God's faithfulness while they were wandering in the wilderness. And the second part is God's law and commandments that he wants them to follow in following Yahweh. And then the third part of the sermon is what they should do when they go into the promised land and when they are unfaithful, which they will be just like we will, to remember God's faithfulness if they walk into repentance, that he'll forgive them. And so it all started here, right? So a bunch of God's people, the Hebrew slaves, the Israelites, they're slaved in Egypt. And God's promised them, hey, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to raise somebody up, Moses, and he's going to come deliver you out of the hand of Pharaoh, and you're going to come out. And so he delivers these 10 plagues. They get out of Egypt, and they go through, and they still start getting chased by Egypt, and they see this unbelievable miracle that you and I have never seen in our lifetime. This huge body of water is parted called the Red Sea. And they go through the Red Sea, and as the Egyptians are chasing them, God covers them up, wipes them out, they're done. And then they spend 40 years wandering in this wilderness. But while they're wandering, God is still providing for them. He's providing manna from heaven and food and nutrition and everything they need to survive. But in that process, Moses goes up to Mount Sinai where he's given the Ten Commandments. And he's not only gone a couple weeks, he comes back down and they're partying, worshiping a golden calf. How quickly they forgot. The God that just parted the Red Sea and did everything he could for them, they're now partying, worshiping a golden calf. Moses gets mad. He breaks the Ten Commandments. He goes back up a second time to get the law again from God. And now Moses also gets mad and hits a rock to gush water out. And so because of that, God says, you're going to get to see the promised land, Moses, but now you're not going to get to go into it. And so they wander and eventually they come all the way up here by Mount Nebo to the Jordan River, where Moses is passing the baton to Joshua. Joshua's going to cross the Jordan River and Moses is going to part and be with the Lord. And he's done, just like the Lord promised. But as he does, he writes this book, Deuteronomy. And he says, hey, before you guys go to this land of milk and honey and affluence and get privileged, I want you to remember all these things. As a matter of fact, I'm going to write them down. Here it is in Deuteronomy. Remember these things, because if you don't, you're going to be forgetful and it's going to put you in a bad place. It's going to get you to a bad spot. And so literally they go through Joshua and he parts the Jordan River. Now the River Jordan parts. This is literally in Joshua 4. And he says, hey, now that you parted this, I want you to put 12 stones to remember. So you see this theme here. God's saying, remember, don't forget, remember, don't forget, remember my faithfulness. And so they go in and looking at Deuteronomy chapter 4 verses 5 through 10, watch this. See, I have taught you decrees and laws as the Lord my God commanded me so that you may follow them in the land you are entering to take possession of it. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations. You will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not, come on Woodland Hills, so that you do not, the things your eyes have seen, or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. And then that next part says, remember, dot, dot, dot. Like literally teach these to your children. Like what's the most important thing we can be doing in our home? Not talking about sports, not talking about social media, not talking about the most important things in our homes that we can be talking to our children and our children's children about is this. God's faithfulness, right? Because our biggest danger as people of God is forgetting our story, who we are, and whose we are. And that's exactly what the Israelites did. They go into a promised land and they forget. They forget who they are and whose they are. You might think you walked in here today and I'm an accountant or I'm a teacher or I'm fill in the blank. But first and foremost, if you're a male, you are the son of the Most High. And if you are a female, you are a daughter of the King. That's who you are and whose you are. And when we forget that we're a daughter of a King, we start comparing ourselves to other people on social media. We start thinking we have to look like this mom or that mom or do these things. And we forget that that's not who we are and whose we are. But God's faithfulness continually reminds us that we're already accepted in who He has made us to be. Period. Right? It goes on to say in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the same first section of the sermon, right? When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land He has given you. Be careful that you do not... Man, come on. Like the 8:30 service was more awake than you guys. All right, let's try this again. Be careful that you do not... Thank you. The Lord your God. Failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decree that I'm giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, that your heart will become proud and you will... The Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. That's entitlement, by the way. They thought somehow they did this. I earned this. I did this. I accumulated all these things. I built a great business. I provided all this money. I bought the boat. I bought the car. I put the food on the table. I put the house over your head. That's entitlement. And God says, when you do that and you think somehow you're the one providing for yourself and your family, you'll forget. You'll get to a place to forget who really is who Jehovah Jireh is, the Lord our provider. And when you get to a place where you forget Jehovah Jireh, you get to a forgetful, entitled, anxious, worrisome state. And He said, don't forget. My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. God produced it. God has provided for you. God has given you the opportunity. God has placed you here. But, good job. But remember the Lord your God. For it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Who gives you the ability? He, God, gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms His covenant, which He swore to you ancestors as it is today. Remember this, the enemy loves to distract us because he knows distractions lead to forgetting. One of the best things about being in Glacier Park this last week, I had no cell phone service. Even if I wanted to get, I couldn't. And it was so refreshing to my soul to be so present with my boys in every minute of every day, to engage with them, to be cut off. I just can't tell you how refreshed my soul was. I literally told my wife when I got back, I just need to make more of a habit of doing that, of completely leaving the phone behind, not being distracted, and allowing God to fill me up. It was so replenishing and amazing. I want to try to continually do it just because it's so easy to have a text message or social media or just all those toxic things that we don't even realize are toxic until we're actually breathing in the freshness of God's word and His quietness and all that stillness it should be. Just try it. Try it and hit me up and let me know how just 2 days without your phone goes for your soul. Try me on this and see how refreshed you feel. See how clear-minded you feel of not looking at any political arguments for 2 days, not looking at any news for 2 days, not having to bash anybody online for 2 days. Just see what it does to your soul. Try me on this and just focus on those 2 days on God's faithfulness and see what it does for you, right? Because God's faithfulness is greater than our fear and forgetfulness. So maybe you've blown it like I have so many times and throughout my life. But the crazy thing is, no matter how many times I blow it, God is still faithful. No matter how many times I mess up, God is still faithful. And so I asked Carolyn and the team to sing a song that sings about God's faithfulness and His goodness and His greatness and helps us remember in our own lives the things He is constantly doing to remind us of our faithfulness.
the darkest hour, when I cannot breathe, fear is on my chest, the weight of the world on me. Everything is crashing down, everything I have known, when I wonder if I'm all alone. You have always been faithful to me. I remember, even when my own eyes could not see, you were there, always there. I will lift my even in the pain of all the nights, I know you can make a way. I have seen giants fall, I have seen mountains move, I have seen waters part because of you. Thinking about your goodness, goodness.
Just imagine Adam and Eve, every time they saw animals walk by that were the same skin that God used to cover their shame. The reminder of faithfulness. Or Abraham and Sarah, every time they would look at the stars after they were beyond the ages of being able to produce children and barren, yet they still produce children. A reminder of God's faithfulness. Or what about Noah? Every time a drop of rain would drop after the flood had subsided, a reminder of God's faithfulness. Or what about Moses? Every time he saw a bush that resembled the same bush that burned and God spoke to him through, another reminder of God's faithfulness.
Stop thinking about your goodness, goodness.
What about the Hebrew slaves? Every time they saw frogs, flies, or their own firstborn, a reminder of God's faithfulness in delivering them from Egypt. What about David? Shepherd boy David that became a king. Every time he saw a sheep in its pasture or a cave. What about Jonah? Every time he would see a land of sea or a withering plant. What about Joshua and Rahab? Anytime they would see any city walls after they seen God's faithfulness tear down the walls of Jericho. Imagine Gideon, every time he woke up before the sun would rise and there would be dew on grass, a reminder of God's faithfulness to overcome an army three times his size. Imagine Peter, every morning he would hear a rooster crow, God's faithfulness when he was reinstated by his Lord and Savior, Jesus, on the shore. Imagine Paul, every morning he woke up with sight after he was blinded on the road to Damascus. A reminder every morning of God's faithfulness. Or imagine Joseph, every time he put on clothes, when that clothes was ripped from him by his brothers and Potiphar's wife, another reminder every morning of God's faithfulness. Faithful, amen. He's never not been faithful. It's us that hasn't been faithful. I can't stop thinking about how faithful he is. And one of the ways the Donier home remembers his faithfulness, this is literally sitting in my office at my house. This is a board my wife and I created. It's called our remember board because we're prone to forget. And it sits on the wall in my office and it just helps me remember times in my life where God has been so unbelievably faithful. There was a time my wife and I were private school teachers up in Kansas City and their finances were arrayed and they couldn't pay us for 2.5 months. And I had a mortgage to pay. And we were crowded on our couches with these little space heaters because we couldn't pay heat in a cold Kansas City winter. And we're eating ramen noodles and hot dogs. It was like the best time of our marriage ever. It was awesome because we were just so dependent on God's faithfulness and we didn't know where it was going to come. And then one day we get a check for $2,500 in the mail out of nowhere, unsolicited. And her and I just start crying literally in the living room because God provided in a faithful way. And then we have a miscarriage. But now I have a 5-year-old, Anders, I would never have had if we hadn't had the miscarriage. And God is faithful in providing in a different way. And then I had to sell a house because I wanted to start a program called Link Here in the middle of the recession. By the way, don't try to sell a house in the middle of a recession. Bad idea. Didn't know how it was going to happen. And then an elder of ours, sweet Doug Goodwin, who's a dear friend of mine, said, hey, we need at least 30 students if we're going to start this Link Here program or else we're going to lose money. And we can't lose money. We got to at least break even. The deadline was 5 days away. We're at number 29. My wife and I worried. I just put blood, sweat, and tears in this. And we're going to move to Branson and cut our salaries in half to start this thing and just trust God. In those 5 days, 2 more kids sign up. We call it 31 flavors, Baskin Robbins that year, baby. And we had just a number. And this whole board is just full of things of God's faithfulness. We went to the Santa Monica Pier. And my crazy, courageous 5-year-old, at the time was 3-year-old, he takes off into the arcade and neither one of us know where he is. In the middle of Santa Monica. It was one of the scariest moments of our life, and her and I just stop and pray. And sure enough, we find him in this little closed curtain arcade, and we were able to find him. And this board is just so full of God's faithfulness. Why do I have a board in my office? Because I forget. If I'm honest with you, I forget. I forget about God's faithfulness. But he's never not been faithful, and he's never not been faithful to you. Do you know why I know his faithfulness is real in your life? Because you're sitting in here this morning. Because you're here. And I know maybe you face cancer and maybe your economics right now, your finances are in array because of COVID. He's going to get us through it. He's going to get us through it. He's faithful. He's never not been faithful in our life. It goes on in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way. And when you lie down and when you rise, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand. And they shall be frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Like, this is the most important thing we should be talking to about with our children and our grandchildren. He's saying, teach them these things so they don't forget. That's why we lose tradition sometimes, is because when the matriarch or the patriarch or grandma or great grandpa pass away, we don't carry on the tradition because we stop teaching them the things we should teach them. We lose the faithfulness part. And when you lie down and when you rise, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they should be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. We have our family seven pillars right next to my fireplace, and we go over them every night at dinner so we don't forget what our family is all about. It's so important. Go ahead. Psalm 37:25 says this, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken. I love this righteous. No one's righteous, not even run. Romans 8 says that. None of us in here are righteous. But for those of you who are in Christ, that righteousness is imputed to you. Which means if you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that He died on the cross for you, that when God sees you, He doesn't see all your junk and your forgetfulness and your sin. He sees the righteousness of Christ imputed to you. He doesn't see all your mistakes and your past. He sees the righteousness of Christ in you. That's the beauty of those who are in Christ and understand the beauty of the good news of the gospel, is that Jesus is our righteousness, not our works. And so, and now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous. I've never seen those who know Jesus forsaken or His children begging for bread. God's faithfulness is not constricted by our timeline. I get asked all the time, man, when's this COVID thing going to stop? I don't know. Man, do you think he'll be here next summer? I don't know. But I know His faithfulness isn't constricted by my timeline. Just because it's not happening as fast as I want to, or we're not getting out of this as fast as I, that doesn't change God's faithfulness. His timeline is exactly when it needs to be. As I know all throughout, not just the 100 years I showed you at the beginning of this message, but the thousands and thousands and thousands of years that He keeps showing Himself to be faithful and true. His faithfulness doesn't need our timeline. Lamentations 3:22-23 says this, the steadfast love of the Lord never, never ceases. His mercies are new. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. God's faithfulness never falters, even if our focus on it fades. That Lamentations tells me that it's unconditional. It's every day. His faithfulness is just as great and suffices for your sins today as it did yesterday. His mercies are new every morning, which means there's no timeline on it. When you came to know Jesus, He didn't just forgive you at that moment. He forgave you at every moment that would become to where you would need His faithfulness. That is why His faithfulness is great, and it never falters, even if our focus on it fades. God is and will and always have been and will never stop being faithful. Amen? Amen. When I was in Kansas City at that teaching job I was telling you guys about, I got hired to be a basketball coach on top of teaching Bible at this private Christian school. And when you're hired to be a head varsity coach, you also need to have an assistant. And so my superintendent said, hey, you might want to find an assistant. It's just part-time pay. We're not going to be able to pay the whole thing. And so if you could find somebody, that'd be great. Well, this was the first year of me coaching, teaching. I wasn't married yet. I got married the second year. So I was living the bachelor pad. And this bachelor pad, for those of you who know Kansas City, the whole city runs on grids. So it's all numbers, east and west, and then names like Metcalf, Antioch, Rowe, Nall. And so I was on state line, which is given the proper word because it's literally the state line of Missouri and Kansas. I lived on state line and 79th on the Kansas side, which is known as Johnson County. The Missouri side is known as Jackson County. Well, a bunch of brothers from the hood would come play basketball on this court at state line and 79th because they would get in trouble if they were trying to play hoops over in Jackson County. The police officers would always break up their games because there might have been some illegal activity going on. Nevertheless, they came over to Johnson County and they were left alone. And so I'm watching these guys play, and I'm like, I played in college. I can go hang with these guys. And so I wanted to go play with those guys. And I walked out trying to get a break from grading English papers, and they wouldn't let me play. They wouldn't let me play pickup. Like, for a couple weeks go by, I'd go out. I got next. And they didn't even hear me. Like, it was falling on deaf ears. I got next. Only white guy out there. I got next. Nothing. Crickets. And then finally one day, only 9 guys showed up, so they had to let me play. And I start building a relationship with this guy.
And he wouldn't even tell me his name. He said, "What's up, man? My name's State Line Hibachi." I go, "State Line Hibachi?" He goes, "Yeah, you see that street right there?" He goes, "That's called State Line. This is State Line Court. You know Hibachi grills? They never go cold, just like me. I'm always hot." This dude's got a huge gold grill, like just gold teeth all across his teeth. He's got tats all up on his neck. Just, I'm telling you, all gold teeth. 6'5", 300 pounds. Looks like he should be a linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I start building a relationship with State Line Hibachi. I'm like, "State Line, why wouldn't you guys let me play?" He goes, "Dude, we thought you were an undercover cop." And so I start building a relationship with him. Matter of fact, I have him in my home and start having dinner with him and start loving him and start hearing his story. I told you, he's huge. And we start building a relationship. And I find out that he's been, he's awaiting arraignment. He's facing about 5 years for a federal case that he got on some drug charges. But I start loving on him. And I grew this wild idea that I was going to hire him as my assistant coach because I need an assistant coach. Imagine bringing that thought to your superintendent at a private Christian school. So I got this idea, and believe it or not, I was able to get it done. And he coaches with me at this private Christian school. And we start building the relationship. And I'm just trusting God's faithfulness every step of the way. God has been so faithful to save people that don't look like us, talk like us, act like us, behave like us. And through this process of coaching with me, he knows at the end of the season, the judge allowed him to coach with me the rest of the season because he thought it was a good influence. Through the rest of it, he knew when the season ended, it means his prison sentence started. And he coaches with me and we build a relationship. He comes to know the Lord and starts walking with Jesus. But he has to go to prison. And so while he's in prison, I start loving on his kiddos. He had two kids, Darius, which is his son. And I take Darius to his first Chiefs game and just start trying to be a dad while his dad's in prison for 5 years. And just start loving on him and he's still writing letters. And I take Darius to even visit his dad in prison. He lost a lot of weight and got in shape while he was in prison. And we would visit every semester. He first started at Forest City Penitentiary. It was a federal case in Arkansas. And then he got moved to Leavenworth Penitentiary in Kansas when it was a lot easier to visit him when he was in Leavenworth. But nevertheless, I never missed trips to Forest City. And he also had a baby girl that was just born as he was going to prison for 5 years. And her name was Maya Lee. And my middle name is Adam Lee. And he named Maya Lee after me. And I had to tell him, I said, "Derek, you know my grandfather named me after Robert E. Lee." I'll never forget what Derek said. "Man, that don't matter. You redeemed that name. You're one of the least racist people I've ever met." And so I take care of her and I take care of him. And this was after I just took him to get some ring pops and some ice cream. And about a week and a half later, the mother's boyfriend backhands Maya Lee right in the forehead. And when he backhands her right in the forehead, the back of her crown goes in the corner of a stove and kills her. They let Derek out on furlough. He's in prison. They let him out on furlough for 48 hours. Pick him up. We get him to the funeral. It's at this old church in the middle of the hood of Kansas City. Olivet Baptist Church in downtown Kansas City. Now he's built so many friends through Kansas City at the private school that he's been at. There's half of it's all these white suburban people and all the people in the hood he grew up with. And the pastor starts to speak and then Derek gets up, just bold as he's always been, and cuts the pastor off and gets up in front of everybody. And in this little church, he says, "I want you guys to know that I forgive the man who did this to my daughter. And it's only by me experiencing God's faithfulness and forgiveness that I'm able to stand up here and do that." Not a dry eye in that church. I pick him up. He goes to my house. We hang out for a little bit. And then he's got to get back to finish his prison sentence. God's faithfulness is so good. His son is continually been coming to camp with me every summer and hanging out, and his dad's gotten out of prison, has continually been a faithful dad and a faithful, honest worker. Him and I are still in touch to this day. We have a strong relationship, and it's a really neat story. And do you know what I tell you is that it's not an Adam story, and it's not even a Derek story. It's a God story. It's a story of God's faithfulness. Time and time again has God been faithful in our lives. Time and time again has He been faithful in your life. Time and time again has He gotten us through to where we are today. And so you know what, Woodland Hills? I have no idea who's going to be president in November. I know God is faithful. I have no idea how the Branson economy is going to rebound. I know God is faithful. I have no idea how your wayward child is going to respond in the next 6 months. I know God is faithful. I have no idea what's going to happen with that sickness you've been diagnosed with. I know God is faithful. I have no idea what's going to happen with your rocky marriage. I know God is faithful. And He's never, ever not been faithful. It is me that has been forgetful. And when I remember His faithfulness, my heart and my soul are in a really good place. Pray with me. Father God, thank You so much for Your faithfulness, Your constant, constant faithfulness. Great is it. God, forgive us of our forgetfulness. Forgive me of my forgetfulness. God, may the midst of a pandemic and political tension and everything else going on in our world, Lord, would You help us to fixate our eyes on Your goodness? Would You help us to fixate our eyes on Your faithfulness, on Your constancy? Whew. We love You, Lord. We're so thankful for all that You do. Be with these people. May they be reminded today of Your faithfulness in their lives. It's in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus we pray. And all God's people said, amen.